It's good to be back, and sometimes it amazes me what the Lord can do through one. I certainly don't feel like I'm the qualified one at all at many times, but God can use us, especially when we're willing. And my message this morning in the second hour is going to be on our attitudes. But as we were finishing up this last term, our last week, I think, in our home where we now live, my wife and I were having devotions in the morning together, and we happened to choose a passage that was in our devotional book, and it was on 2 Timothy chapter 4, which I want to be sharing a little bit later this morning after we have a slide presentation. But two words came out to us. Finish well. And that's what we want to do. Many of you older ones probably will remember the late George Black. To me, he was my mentor in one sense of the word. And I noticed that was one of the things he said. He wanted to finish well, and I'm sure he did. He preached, I think, right up to the last month before the Lord took him home to be with him. And that would be tremendous for us as well. Let's go to the slides now. I guess, yes, we're on. I don't have to look. Isn't that nice? It's all set up. And so there's no need of saying too much more. And my wife and I, Daryl and Erlyn, and serving with the GMSA, Gospel Mission of South America, in the land of Chile. Our mission does work in Argentina and Uruguay. And it's been our privilege to visit at different times some of the works, and especially our missionaries over there. But we're thankful that our mission is still taking a good stand doctrinally, and I would even say in the practice area. And we are very thankful and feel very comfortable to the fact that we're still with the mission, and they're still staying by biblical principles. And that's important today, as we have seen other missions take a different route. We're in Chile, and I just thought I would kind of show you just a little bit where we are. If you look down there, you'll see the city Temuco on the western coast. I don't know if I have a pointer here to do that for you, but there, that's better. Sometimes I get a little bit low in the voice, don't I? We've worked there now a couple terms. Actually, we don't live in the city of Temuco anymore. As of 4 years, this coming December, the Lord gave us the privilege of buying a property about a half an hour from the city of Temuco. And we have our little tiny, I call it our mini acreage. And with the country boy and me coming out, we're glad to be able to be a place where sheep are across the road, see a couple pigs in our neighbor's field and so forth, and it's been great. You may wonder why we moved out there. I've stepped down as being the director of the Bible Institute in about the same time, and we're just thankful that Andy Thompson now is our new Bible Institute director. We're still functioning in the Bible Institute, but also our son-in-law, Marcelo, and their church started to work in this little area called San Ramon. And we kept going out there back and forth, and the Lord just brought it into our hearts to look for a place. And I owe it to my two son-in-laws. They took me out one day, and they said, "We're going to go look for a place for you to buy." And they said, "You be quiet, because you're North American," as they say, gringo down there. And they said, "Let us Chileans talk, because they're going to think you have piles of money and they're going to raise the price." And so they did all of the searching and buying, and I just sort of stayed behind the scenes. And we're thankful for that, because we have a place, I believe, that God has called us to be in, an area that's also a needy area. And we started working with the preaching point there, but later on we'll be showing you we're not so much in that area, in that same village anyway, but we're on a different area. So just south of us, we found out there's one of our churches of our fellowship has a pastor that can only get there one Sunday a month. Can you imagine having your pastor show up one Sunday a month here? And that's it? That's the case in many of the churches in Chile. Over half of them don't have a full-time pastor. And so there's a real need. And it's been our privilege to work with the Radal work, which is about 20 minutes away from us, provided there are not too many holes in the road. But when the road grader goes over, we can make it 15, 20 minutes. And we have just been loving it, little by little, fitting into the group, starting once a month ago, and now we're going three Sundays a month, plus two Saturday nights for a Bible study, and cooperating with the pastor. And so it's been a real wonderful time, experience of that. I mentioned our son-in-law, I guess we would say the youngest one, married to our youngest daughter, Teresa. And I know many of you have been praying for Teresa and Marcelo. They work in one of our churches in Temuco, and also are the ones that are in charge of the little work out near we work, live. There they are with their little daughter, Isabella, and a very busy pastor has been teaching in our Bible Institute. It's really kind of a great experience to have two son-in-laws that are pastors, Chilean pastors, and also to have them teaching in our staff at the Bible Institute. And so just pray for them. They have a busy, busy schedule, and there's so much to be done. The first years before Pastor Marcelo got ordained, I was sort of his almost counselor in one sense. And so anytime he had a baptism or a marriage, I had to be involved, being the only ordained minister in the church. And so, but it was a tremendous time to be able to be with them in those years. And here you'll see me helping in one of the baptismal service that they had in one of the believers' homes there. I should say out in the country, not too far from where we live. But has been a joy to do that. But what a joy it was just about 3 years ago or so. Our son-in-law got ordained, and it was a privilege for me to participate in the ordination service. And there you see even Brother Terry Thompson with amongst the others in the president of the pastors and some of our other pastors praying for him at his ordination. And so now I don't have to go and baptize and marry the people along with him, but he's on his own in that standpoint. And just continue to pray for them. As I've said, we have two son-in-laws that are our preachers. And the other one is Pastor Isaac with Janelle, our second daughter, and their two little children. They have our youngest grandson, which we are thoroughly enjoying, sitting there at our home. They took over a work that we were involved in our former years in the Bible Institute, which is out in a Mapuche area. And you've probably been praying for us for the building of the parsonage, both places in the country and also in the town of Temuco. I've been involved the last couple years. And there you'll see us in front there, I should say the family, as we started building. Before they moved out of Coyhaique due to health reasons, Isaac needed to come up in the Temuco area to have a specialist. He has kidney problems. You'd be praying about that as well as back problems. So, the Lord is using him there in that Mapuche church, and also going across the river in another community and serving in two churches. So Sunday mornings he goes across the river. About a half an hour if the ferry boat crosses. If it doesn't, he has to make all the way around, and it's a big long circle for 100 kilometers before he can get to the church. And in the wintertime, that's the way you do that. And so it's an hour to get to church and back, and then try to rush back for the 2 o'clock service back in the Mapuche church. So it's quite a challenge for them, but they're able to do it, and just pray for their health and pray for... it's such a joy to see our two daughters married to national pastors and in full-time service. It's a wonderful, for us, fulfillment in one sense to see our children going on. Just the front view, you see the house is now livable. It's not finished fully, but they're in it and functioning, and we trust that it'll be within about a year, have everything all done in it. Not only do we work with the local church, but sometimes in Bible conferences. And this last summer, I was able to be in one of our former works in the country and met a man who presented a real need, found out that we're on the same page in a lot of things and concerned about areas, and he invited me to a conference we had in the city of Temuco, and of all places, one of the universities. And you'll see me in the next one teaching on the second coming of Christ, and especially on dispensation. We're finding that some of the new movements, although we're all for what the Reformation took place, but many of them are non-denominational, and so there is a mix-up on the second coming of Christ, spiritualizing on things, not believing in a real millennium, and so forth. And this is where he asked me to come in, and I taught that one Saturday, and it was quite a group of people there that are real need to have not an extreme, but a dispensational point of view and a literal translation of the Word of God, especially in the area of eschatology. And so the Lord is still using us, even in this area, even with, you might say, other fellowships that are close and very conservative. And we've had a good time with them. Just want to show you the work that Marcel and Teresa are involved in, along with their local church near us. We can walk to this house from our house. About 10, 12 minutes, we can walk. And that's where this little preaching point is. Pray for the group. It's small, but it's very needy. And the area needs it. There are different other groups out there, but most of them are basically Pentecostal or charismatic. And sometimes they offer different things to the kids to come. And so we've lost a bunch of kids, you might say, because of some of these other things that go on in the other groups. But just pray for us to be steady, and also especially for Marcelo to carry on with his elders there as they lead there. Probably one of our joys of ministry has been that of serving in our Bible Institute. And even though now I'm not the director and we're not the house parents, but we're still involved. And it's been a tremendous time to be able just to go in to teach in the classes, and then to see our students graduating going to the ministry. I wish this picture had been just a little bit clearer, but it's the only thing I had, and so I wanted to show you. Do you see my student? I put this picture in for two reasons. That student is 6 months older than I am. I'm 75, so you know what this fellow is. He's pushing 76 shortly. But he graduated just a couple years ago. Today he's in the ministry. A former Air Force meteorologist who retired and came to our Bible Institute burdened for the work and is ministering. So don't think you're too old. God can use young people, but he also older people my age. You know, some of us that are well seasoned, right? And so it was a real joy. And Brother Andy told the students that they were graduating that they could choose the teacher they wanted to give them their diploma. And guess what I got? Our brother there asked that I give him that. So we have a special relationship with Brother Hector. Here they are, the Bible Institute, in that graduation ceremony. And like I say, pray for them. There's challenges. Some of those people that you'll see in that picture on the screen there are in the ministry. I'm looking at two or three of them right now. They are serving the Lord. One of them up in Antofagasta, the fellow over to, I'd be probably over to your side over there, Brother Andres, is also working today and replacing the flings until they get back, and probably going to go on to serve as teamwork in the mission and in that area. What is our ministry about? Our Bible Institute exists for one purpose, not just to teach, but to prepare Christian workers, whether it be pastors or lay leaders or even ladies in the ministry. We're local church oriented, and that is so important. This is my wife's class in Rodal, I believe, isn't it? And a tremendous time that we've had there, but we don't do it alone. And one of the things that I'm convinced about that we have in our Bible Institute, Tumoko, is we require our students to do practical work, practical training, not just theory in the classroom. Here's one of our students helping us in Radal once a month. This is a couple years ago now, but this gal, she comes from Uruguay, and apparently will be in the ministry with her husband in that area. And so just pray for these students and in our training of them. One of the joys that sometimes missionaries don't always get, because we have a son living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a daughter who lives in Coyhaique, almost 1,000 miles south of us, still in the same country. But we were able to get together a couple years ago, and our son flew down with our grandchildren, and that represents the Thompson tribe, I guess you'd say, with all of our daughters and son, and also our son-in-laws and daughter-in-law and our grandchildren. And we thank the Lord that they're following the Lord, each one of them. One of our ministries now, I think, is to pray and to be examples for our grandchildren. We have 9 at the moment, and the Lord knows whether we're to have more or not, but anyway, we consider it a real privilege. Just wanted to show you a picture of our house, and I say the Lord really provided it. It's amazing what has happened. And you notice something about the gate? It's open. We want that gate open so the people can come to us. That's what we're on the field for, to be open so that others can come, hear the Word of God, and just pray that we'll be a testimony in the area of San Ramon where we're living, and at that place will be used, and we want it to be used for the glory of God as a place. It has served in the past even for, say, little mini retreats and fellowship time with churches and ladies groups from the church. So we're thankful God has provided that for us. And I show this last picture, Pastor's Family Camp in Licon. My wife and I spent 11 wonderful years of ministering in the Licon camp. Now where Dan and Elizabeth Thompson are serving. But we have enjoyed in the past years of going to the family camp a week when the pastors can get away and have a time of fellowship, of resting, and hearing from others teach the Word of God. I show this picture for one reason. The National Board of our Fellowship of Churches have taken a survey of our pastors and gone over it and looked at things. What is going to happen to us in the next 5-10 years or so if the Lord doesn't come back for us? How many of those pastors will be able to be functioning, or maybe have gone home to be with the Lord? And it gets alarming when one sees that probably 30, 40, maybe up to 50% won't be able to function in another 10 years. Who's going to replace them? We're going to a church and functioning where the pastor is only able to get there once a month. And I've heard from the people of the church saying that he is looking forward to retirement. What does that mean? There's a need. Pray for workers. As you never know when you're going to influence. I didn't realize it was such an influence on the Bronx. There's another fellow who went to mission field, and I was in a near my home area near Mason City, Iowa, went to speak at a Christian school. And the fellow says, you know, the fellow that influenced my life is here today. I didn't know who he was talking about. And he said, if Daryl could leave sheep shearing off to go to the mission field, he said, I felt I could leave being a hog farmer and go to the mission field. You never know when God is going to use you. I wouldn't have known that this guy had been on the field 20 years or more. But if we can be an influence, that's what we want to be as well. I don't know how long the Lord has us. As I say, my mentor was Brother George Black. He almost made it to 102, but that's not my goal. But the Lord only knows. It might be this year, another month, another maybe 5 years. Who knows? We don't know, do we? But God does. But what is our concern? That others be raised up to take not only our place, but the place of others, as you see there, where there's going to be absence. Pray for a Bible Institute. I know the national board is really concerned about this in the future, and the idea is to upgrade the Bible Institute. The standards, we're getting a different type of student in than we did 20, 30 years ago. I remember teaching future pastors that didn't have their eighth grade completed. Today, we're getting students. They're coming on their own. They're not that many, but there are a few. Most of our students have had college or university training and have their own profession and are entering into the ministry. And the levels are coming up, and we need to keep our levels up as well in the Bible Institute. So pray for national workers. North Americans, yes, we need to also. We're getting few in number. But pray also that there will be Chilean nationals that will be called to go into the ministry and get prepared. Well, this is it for the slide presentation, so that the class will be able to then to carry on. So we just hit the button, this can be shut off then. All right. Sometimes for me, all this new modern technology is a little bit intimidating. I had to chuckle a little bit when Pastor Bill Hickson was with us at the last conference, and he said, I don't believe that people can be demon-possessed that are Christians. But these things, he says, I think can be possessed. And sometimes they give us a lot of confusion. I don't know, Brother Dave, if you have any challenge like that. He's given me some tips on things just now that I really appreciate. But I'm certainly not an expert on them, but thankful I could at least make up some kind of a PowerPoint to be able to show. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to look at my watch so that I don't go over. What a tremendous chapter. Apostle Paul in prison. And we see what happens, and it's easy challenging. There's one thing that I notice is absent in this book, this 2 Timothy. I don't see any complaining. Do you hear anything about Paul talking about the bad food? the poor housing? If you found that, I didn't find it. I don't know. We find a man in prison trying to encourage other servants. And as we see, one of his brother Black called him maybe sort of like a favorite, if we should have such. Timothy seemed to be rather special to the Apostle Paul. And what does he say? Those first 8 verses, let's read them. I'll read and you follow. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be diligent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, this is where I get my theme today. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Finish well. Obviously, what Paul is stating here, I can't say this has been my life. I can't even reach up to his ankles as far as what he did. But there's one area I want to take with me and be a challenge to all of us to finish well. How many have we seen start and don't finish? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking more about service. I think this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. We know we're eternally secure in the Lord, and he saves us and keeps us. But what about this area that I'm mentioning here? Service. How many students have we seen go through our Bible Institute who started but didn't finish? Or even others who have started in the ministry and the pastorate, or came on the mission field, did one term. There's another real good, there are a number of good missions in Chile. GMSA is not the only one, but I'm thankful that we chose, I believe it was the Lord that directed us to GMSA. But there's another mission board, and many probably would have thought, well, why didn't you go with this other board? It's got good doctrine, but the track record of their missionaries and some of the nationals will say, well, will he come back? Most of their missionaries have had one term. I don't say all of them. There are some that's had more than one. On this other board, and I thought, something's wrong. Finish well. That doesn't mean that everybody has to live like us and live 40, almost 50 years on the mission field. But it is true. How many have come and gone, and some not even in the ministry today? And so pray for us and pray for others to stay with it, to stay on the mission, to stay in the Lord's service. Now, I want to, more or less, this won't be not in so much an expositional message, but probably more topical in one sense. And I want to take 3 areas of this. First of all, thankfulness. I find the Apostle Paul thankful here, don't you? Like I say, I don't find a complaining spirit at all. And we need to be thankful. As I recall last furlough when we were here, I preached on 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. And when I heard our speakers yesterday, I said, well, now I know why I wasn't to repeat chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. We had a good exposition yesterday on it. But there, you remember those verses 24 to 27 where the Apostle Paul uses the illustrations of like the Olympics and running the race? And that race was a long race, not a short one. Like the marathon today. We're in a long race. And so we need to keep in the running. And that's why I thought my theme this year, is this furlough, is going to be finish well. Stay in there. Stay with it. As long as the Lord enables us. We're thankful for churches who stood with us in the past 47 years. One of our first services we had, or to attend the missionary conference down at Twin City Bible Church, I can remember when one of the former graduates started in that area and started a church, which they took us on almost 48 years ago in 1969, $10 a month, and they're still supporting us. A little bit more than $10 a month, of course. Things have kind of changed. When we went to field, we had to raise $400. That was a terrible lot of money in those days. And we were able to live some months with $100 a month. You don't do that today, do you? You fill your tank a couple times, you've got $100 spent, you know. In Chile, especially with gasoline at close to $5 a gallon. So that's why you see me, I still got the habit. I shut my motor off right away and I don't start until I have to go. You know, said, why don't you warm your car up? I said, well, it warms up if I go real slow until it gets going. Got to save gasoline at $5 a gallon. You don't want to. But anyway, we're thankful for churches who have supported us throughout all of these years. There have been some changes. We had to change our local sending church because the former church where I grew up went neo-evangelical. And we weren't walking the same beat that they were, and so we resigned. But God has seen fit to raise up churches such as Salem Bible Church, Athens Bible Church, back in about 1990. And I remember we went to one of our first times at Camp Logos and speaking and so forth. And we're thankful for you and each and every one, especially these churches. This fellowship seems so close to GMSA. And one of the things that encourages me is that you are praying. You're praying for Pastor Marcelo and Teresa. You're praying for Isaac and Janelle there in that Mapuche area. Mayowe, and that's what's needed. There have been changes. Like I say, we have a home. We never thought we'd ever own a home. First time in all of our lives that we've ever had our own property in one sense. But we don't want that property to become a stumbling block or something that causes us to go out of the work or not be willing to go where we need to go. That's our objective. That's why I said the gate's open. Why? Open to the work, to people who need the Lord. People who have the Lord but need to be edified, to encourage. That's what it's there for. And then once again, I'm thankful for the GMSA. And I trust and pray that we will stay fundamental, conservative, and not lose sight of what should be our mission. But present ministries, secondly, is important as well. And that is the area in which we're doing. What are we doing? Well, someone asked me in another church, well, when are you going to retire? Well, I said, I don't know if the word retirement's in my definition, you know, in my dictionary. So I'm saying we're trying to get retreaded. And that's why I'm not saying we're going to get it. We're trying. Because who knows? But God does, doesn't He? It's a joy to continue to teach in our Bible Institute. That's where our burden is. to train national workers. I think it's great when North Americans, Canadians, Germans can get together with Chileans, Argentinians, Uruguayans, and team up to do our work. Each of us have different gifts. I don't have some of the gifts that my son-in-laws have, and vice versa. But working together, we can accomplish much more than sometimes separate. So there's that area, the Bible Institute. It's important. Remember what Paul told Timothy. Preach what? The word. We dare not get away from that. Today there's sort of a fad out, well, let's talk about discussions, let's go to this and that and everything. And I'm not saying that films can't help, I'm not saying that drama can't be used, but there's no substitute for what? Preach the word, as Apostle Paul says. And we need to be faithful. That means we need to study. And so we need to prepare future workers. They know how to study the Word of God. We heard about afflictions yesterday. Yeah, there are afflictions. I don't want to belabor on that area, but it's not been an easy road all the way. You can be misunderstood. And just after I had my accident, as you remember back in 1990, we went back to the field. There was quite a while that I didn't have my balance as we should have. And so I would be walking, start walking down the street a little bit too fast, and all of a sudden this right leg is not very well coordinated even yet completely, and I would fall. And the rumor was out that the pastor of the Bible Center Church fell because he was drunk. You'll get falsely accused. I had no idea, you know. One of the ladies of the church told me about it later on. But let's face it, I felt hurt. You know, that somebody would think that I were drunk. But that can happen. Sacrifice. Yes, there are times of sacrifice. You may not make it back to your mother or your father's funeral, etc. These can happen because of the thousands of miles of separation from your family and all. But God can supply. But not only do we find that, but I find the word reward in here. And Paul is talking about it here. And I don't expect the rewards here. Someday, we're going to be face to face with our Lord. And if we're at the Bema seat, it's going to be different. And one who carries the books is the Lord, not us. And so let's leave it in His hands. Present ministries. We're working at the Bible Institute. One of our main ministries right now has been the Radal Church. I want you to pray for that. I wished I'd had a couple good... Last night I tried to download one out of my telephone, but I haven't figured out how you take the pictures out of my telephone and put in my computer. But I wished I could have shown you so that you could pray for that group of people. But it's been a real challenge and a real joy for my wife and I to go down there and serve in Radal. This little country village. I don't think there's more than 1,000 people in that little tiny village. And there is a school, but there's no bank, you know, and all that. It's a country area. But we found some people that want the Word of God. They're like sponges that absorb, and it's just wonderful. I thought, well, maybe we'd find a bunch of elderly people like us, and some of them didn't. But we found three young couples, plus some others there, and one of the ladies just lacks a couple things, and she will have her degree as a lawyer. Another one is a social worker. Another one works in the county department of the municipality of Freire. So these are people that some of them have been fairly well educated. One of them is kind of a teacher, but he teaches something I would never thought you would be teaching in the schools. He's teaching chess. We said, what do you learn about chess? He said, you don't know how much this helps the kids to mature and make decisions. And well, it's a different world. But anyway, I had the privilege of baptizing him. And there's some real needs there. As we go back, one of the families has a situation that needs to be taken care of. And I don't want to just broadcast what it is, but just to say there's a real spiritual need. But they're willing. They invite us to their house when Saturday nights. We go two Saturday nights a week to have Bible studies now. And I'm teaching on the area of sanctification. You know, many of us Christians, we know we've been saved eternally. We're secure. And we know where our future is. We'll be in heaven. We'll be with the Lord. But what about that period in between? Are we growing? Are we being sanctified day by day? Being more and more like the Lord? And that's my challenge, to teach them, to help them to grow from the Word of God. It's not me. It's the Word that's going to do it. But it's kind of amazing in one sense of, well, but taking a chapter and taking a study, and all of a sudden I hear these ladies say, oh, wow. It's not that I'm an eloquent preacher. I'm not. It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's working in their hearts, the Holy Spirit. Pray for that present ministry. Like I say, we're trying to go three Sundays a month and at least two Saturday evenings each month for this Bible study. We started with these three couples. In fact, we started with two to start with. And now we can sometimes up to 15 people come out these nights. Now, this is a little longer than when that you might think of just a regular Bible study. They come and then they take off. No, you got an old Chilean culture. If you're in the house, you just don't leave without eating. And I'm trying to keep my weight down because my doctor wants me to do that. It's kind of hard, you know. But what does this eating have to do with all? We have found that the people open up after I have the Bible study, and they spread out, and they make a big spread too sometimes, almost like a banquet some nights. But they open up, and they say, Pastor, what about this? What about this? And we're learning from the people what their needs are, what I need to be teaching them from the Word of God. And I think of Ezekiel in chapter 3, where he's where the Lord took him into a situation. Now, it's a different situation, dispensation that we're in. But he was placed amongst the people. And he says, in, I think it's 3:17, I sat where they sat, textually. We need to learn to go and sit with them, be with them. In other words, it's not, well, I'm here in Sunday school this morning. As soon as I get done, I'm out the door. Learn to live and love your people. It's important. Pray for us for that. That's a big, big area. And like usual, I'm running out of time. Third area, future goals. What are our goals? We want to help train local men in the Radal Church. Probably they will not get to our Bible Institute. I think the teacher sometimes needs to go where the pupils are. And that's been a long time burden in my own heart. I'm not going to abandon the Bible Institute. As long as Andy says you can come and teach, I'm going to be teaching. And as long as his brain still works. But there's also a need of teaching in the local church. And I've got a burden to teach these young men how to preach. They need a homiletics course. They also need to have Bible interpretation, hermeneutics, so that they know how to rightly divide the Word of God. I think my plate's full. That's a challenge. So I need your help in praying. Praying for us to stay by the stuff, to continually preach the Word of God, to continue to teach in the Bible Institute. So far, the field council, I'm over 70. I shouldn't be on any board. But Andy said, no, you've got to come in, sit in the field council yet. So I do that. So may I be a positive influence and possibly the experience help with the field council as we meet from time to time. And then lastly, national believers to participate in missions. We need to be a challenge to them. May the Lord lift up people. There are new challenges, even in Chile. We heard about some things from the doctor yesterday about going to these different countries. I may never get to Cuba, probably not. But you know, I have taught Cubans. One of my former students, you know where he came from? Cuba. A year ago, we were up in Santiago and I was teaching a homiletics course in 3 days. And the fellow that had me come up and teach this institute said, can you come and preach in the church where I'm assisting because our pastor's sick and so, okay, I went. He said, now you're going to have an interpreter. Well, I've been 40-some years in Chile. I think I know a little bit of Spanish. But you know what? Over half of the church were Haitians from Haiti. Here's a Haitian standing, me preaching in Spanish, and he interpreting in the Creole, I think it is, kind of a half French and a little mixture. What an experience. A challenge. One of our national missionaries in the Chiloé Islands, over half his church are Haitians. The Lord is even opening up in Chile a new mission field that didn't exist. Praise the Lord, no? Opportunities. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer because I know our time is up. Lord, we thank Thee for the privilege of sharing Your word here in Salem Bible Church. Thank Thee for the congregation, their support of missions throughout the world. And Lord, we just pray that this even be a challenge to young people to want to serve Thee, knowing that when we're in Your will, there's nothing better for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.